excited to be here. We just got back from an amazing mission trip. I just want to give you a short report of what God did in and through our team. So Expression Church partners up with an amazing missions organization called Missions.me. Now, Missions.me takes small mission trips all over the world, and you just get groups of people, and we all go there and preach the gospel. And so 9 of us got to go and meet up with 200 other missionaries from all over the United States into the country of Honduras and the city of San Pedro Sula, and we just did what God called us to do. Church, let me tell you, it was the best mission trip I've been to in a long time. I mean, God moved in extraordinary ways. And as a pastor, you know, your desire is for your team to experience God, because I know what God could do when we go out on a mission trip. And so I took with me a single mom, I had a teenage girl, I had 2 couples. One of the couples are in their late 60s, and then I had a businessman and a single lady with me. And when we went out there, I'm just expecting God to do extraordinary things. And so they would just get us in buses, ship us out, we'd go into schools, we'd do our dances, our skits, and then we'll present the gospel. And then after that, they'd ask us to now mingle with the students or the patients and just tell them about Jesus. And this was what was beautiful about watching our team. I'm going to point out one person. Her name is Sarah Pierce. Sarah Pierce was a 14-year-old. Yes, EYC, here we go. You got one who represented y'all. Watching Sarah come on this trip was just amazing. Sarah just came, just wanted to see what God would do on this trip. And so we get there, and the first day, we're meeting up with the local missionaries, and we're just talking, and Sarah's just watching. Second day, we get to minister together in the hotel, just praying over one another, and I see Sarah coming alongside, saying nothing, just laying hands. Then the third day was our actual mission trip. And so we get out there. When we get to the schools, we're done with our dances, done with our skits, and Sarah takes a translator with no person telling her what to do and just runs to students and starts telling them about Jesus. 14 years old, sharing her testimony for the first time and leading a child to Jesus for the first time. Amazing. Amazing. Broke my heart. Then God doesn't stop there with Sarah. God says, hey, I'm going to give you a word and I want you to speak it out. And Sarah just says, okay. And so she tells this kid what God just told her. And this kid just starts breaking down and starts to cry. And Sarah, being 14, this is where her 14-year-old came in, she turns around immediately, runs straight to me and starts jumping, telling me, look, God said this and this will happen. And she's just crying and just thanking Jesus. And that just blesses my heart. God did incredible things. I wish I had time to tell you all that what God did in Honduras, but I will give you a report. I asked Missions.me this week to send me a report of what we did. So 200 of us got to speak to individuals about Jesus. We got to reach 15,204 people. That's incredible, church. You can clap for that. Yes. And out of those 15,204, 4,828 people gave their lives to Jesus. Church, we're living in a good time, church. It was amazing to watch and amazing to experience, and we thank God for all he did. Now, I know you might be sitting there wondering, man, I'd love to go on a missions trip. Well, I'm glad you asked, because next year, Missions.me is gathering together right now 5,000 missionaries to go to the nation of Peru in the month of June to preach the gospel. Then it's going further and asking 5,000 local missionaries in Peru to partner up with our 5,000, and then 10,000 of us are going to spread throughout Peru preaching the love of Jesus everywhere we go. Can you picture that with me, church? 10,000. I just gave you a report of 200. Can you imagine what 10,000 can do in this nation and how radical God can move in such extraordinary ways? And we have an opportunity to witness history in the making. And church, I want to invite you to come with me. I want to ask 50 of you to come with us. That's what we're believing God for, that we will take 50 to join the 5,000 to see God rock our world to pieces. And I'm telling you, I'm so expectant, because miracles are going to take place. Lives are going to be changed, and that is going to impact our lives forever. So if you're interested, please go to the website, sign up on the global mission part. Is just sign up and I'll send you all the information you need to know. But if after the service you just want to talk to me, I'm going to be back there right next to the stand that says Peru. Come over. I'd love to share with you about what God can do in and through you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Now let's jump to my message. I want y'all to stretch forth your hand because I really believe God has a word for us this morning. Father, I thank you for what you're about to do in this service. I thank you for the lives we're going to be changed. I thank you, God, for the miracles that are about to take place. I thank you, God, the Lord, you're about to touch our lives and change us forever in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. I don't know if you guys are like me. Growing up, I loved school, but I loved school for the wrong reasons. I loved school because we had double period where we just played PE. We just played games. And that was my favorite thing every single day. I loved school because we had an amazing cafeteria. And every day, I just leave class just expecting to be surprised. Even though I knew what the menu was, I was just excited to go to the cafeteria and eat. It was my favorite thing to do. And then I also loved school because I had a group of friends, and we called ourselves the boys. And the boys were amazing. They were perfect. They were in every way, and they were awesome. But one year, I loved a certain class, which was a surprise to me, was a surprise to my mom, but I loved the art class. And I don't know if it was the teacher, I don't know if it was the students, but I just loved this class, and I learned so many different techniques to draw, and I just fell in love with it that year. And so one day, our teacher stands up and says, I want y'all to do this assignment, and this assignment will count for 30% of your finals. And so I'm paying attention, and so she turns to us and says, I want you to draw the best version of the beach. Now, I'm from Kenya. We live in the tropics. My favorite vacation is on the beach. So I hear that, and all of a sudden, in my mind, I'm starting to picture all the stuff I'm going to do to draw my beach. And so I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to use this technique. I'm going to use that technique. So needless to say, I did not hear the rest of the instructions. And so my teacher continues to say, hey, I want you to do it, but use only color paint. So I didn't hear that. I go home, water paint, thank you. I go home, I'm excited. I start my project, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to kill it so bad. I am literally telling you, I drew something that was worth looking at. It was so amazing, and I couldn't wait to go back to school and hand over my assignment. So I wake up in the morning, and you know that feeling when you're so confident, when you've done something amazing, and you're walking into school, and your walk almost kind of changes? You know what I'm saying? And you're looking at people saying, sup? Man, it's good to see you, man. I love you. That's how I was. I don't even know these people, but I'm so confident at what I've just done. And as I hand into my assignment, my teacher, I look at her with that look like, you'll wait and see. You're going to be blown away. So a few days passes, the teacher now is handing back our assignments. And she's going back, she's handing over their assignments, and I hear students saying, oh my gosh, I got a B, I'm so excited. Some people are C, other people are D, but some of those for the Ds I knew they're going to fail. They're not good at artists. But I'm expecting to receive an A. And as the teacher turns to me, her expression goes from two. And I'm like, wait, what? And so she hands me my assignment, and I see a massive F. And my heart just sinks. Because I'm like, you mean my drawing was worse than David's? Like, he cannot draw to save his life. I mean, how badly was my drawing? I'm like devastated. And as I'm thinking through this, I notice a few writings on the bottom of my assignment. And the assignment and the writings say, great job at drawing your picture, but wrong assignment. Church, I believe every believer has an assignment. And this assignment is the same across the board. And many a times we can get so caught up in doing life and accomplishing tasks and reaching out to do what we need to do that we forget what their assignment is. Mark chapter 16, yes, it's about to go down. Mark 16, verse 15 to 20 says, let me give a backstory first. This is a point in verse 15 of Mark. Jesus has died. The disciples are distraught. Mary and Martha and another lady, they wake up in the morning. They need to go dress Jesus up because he's dead, and that was the ritual they had to do. So they run to the tomb in the morning, and as they get there, the stone's been rolled away, and Jesus is not in there. I want to repeat that. Jesus was not in there. Now, the angel of the Lord comes to them and says, the one you're looking for, he's risen. He's no longer here, and he's told me to tell you to go and tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. And so we fast forward, and now we're in verse 15 of Mark 16, and it says, now Jesus addressing his disciple, he says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. Now, that's one part I don't know. But he continues and says, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. So when you go on a mission trip, you drink the water by mistake. Don't worry, you're covered. This chapter covers that right here. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Sorry. Their assignment, church, is to go. Go into all the world and preach this good news to everyone. Now, I know you're out there saying, but Faustin, I'm a doctor. I believe God has called me to be a doctor. Yes, I believe that too. But God is saying, listen, as a doctor, go into your world and tell them about my good news. Tell them what I've done in you. I'm a mom, a stay-home mom. Yes, stay-home mom, you got a captive audience. Once you look at your babies and every single day, you just tell them what God has done in your life. The assignment is that we ought to go and tell them of all that God has done. Now, society started something. Growing up, this is what my dad told me. I want to use an illustration this morning because I'm a kids pastor, so you're getting the mission pastor and the kids pastor at the same time. So you're privileged, I'm just saying. But I want you to imagine with me, that this rope It just goes forever. It just keeps going and going and going and going. Now imagine with me also that this rope is a timeline of your existence. Can you picture that? It just keeps going and going. Now, this part is your timeline here on earth. So whatever you do here will affect what happens here. Now, growing up, I'm from Africa. My dad told me, hey, you want to live the good life? This is what you have to do. You have to study hard. You got to work hard, then you have to get a good job, then you have to pay all the loans that you owed for all the schooling you did. Then don't worry, you'll keep working hard, you'll get good money. Then after, when you get to this point, when you get to 50, you get a midlife crisis, and then you have to buy a first car, then you have to sell it. Then don't worry, you just keep saving, then this little part right here, you're going to live the dream. You're going to live the good dream. And that's what society teaches us, right? We get just so consumed because, man, I want to live the good life, and with rightful so. Nobody wants to suffer. No. But the more we pursue that, we forget the assignment. Because, folks, no matter what you say, what you do here will affect how you live for the rest of eternity. I believe God gives us some good guidelines on how to stay the course. In fact, Paul says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, let us throw away everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Paul is saying, listen, I know you need stuff, but don't be consumed by it. Focus. This is the assignment. Press in. Let that go away and press in, because if you make the right decisions here, I am promising you, you're going to enjoy it more in eternity. So let's go jump back to Mark. Jesus gives us some few guidelines, I believe, this morning that will help us stay the course. Keep the main thing the main thing. So first and foremost, in Mark 16, Jesus addresses a particular group of people, because this assignment's not for everybody. Jesus says to his disciples. Now, you may ask me, who's a disciple? Now, the word disciple means student, it means pupil, it means apprentice. Back in the first century, every Jewish boy would be taken to school, and up until the age of 13, he would learn the Torah. The Torah was the first five books of the Bible. And at the age of 13, when he got there, if he was super brilliant, a rabbi, a teacher, would call him up and say, listen, I want you to come and follow me. I want you to come, and I will teach you what I know. Now, a rabbi was somebody who was a specialist at something. So if he was a prophet, he would teach his students how to be prophet. And pretty soon, whatever the rabbi could do, the disciple could do as well. This is significant, folks. The Bible says one day Jesus is walking down the lake. And a crowd of people are following him because his ministry has started. And they've heard of his great, great things. And now he sits on a boat and he tells the fisherman who's on the right side of him, he says, Peter, please push me over. I want to address these people. So he addresses the congregation. And when he's done, he turns back to Peter and says, hey, listen, I want you to cast your net one more time. The Bible says, Peter's like, no, listen, I've been doing this all day. Nothing. Nothing has happened. He says, but because you say it, I will do it. So he casts his net. He catches a massive amount of fish, and he just blows his mind away. Then Jesus says this words to Peter, come and follow me. Now Peter responds, listen, society has told me I'm worthless. When I got to the age of 13, nobody picked me. So I took up a trade that is shunned upon in our community. Peter starts telling him, I'm a sinner. Don't consider me. I am not worthy of being a student of a great rabbi. But this is the beauty, church. Jesus looks at you and me and tells us this morning, I don't call the qualified. I qualify every person that I call. Listen. So what that tells me is I don't have to know all the verses of scripture. No, God tells me, no, I've called you because the Bible tells us I didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose me. And when he chose me, he says, I'm calling you to follow me. And what I do, you will be able to do also. And that's something worth praising, church, because when I read my Bible, it tells me that Jesus was everywhere he went. He healed the sick. So that tells me as a disciple, everywhere I go, I will be able to heal the sick. At one time, he looked at a dead person and said, come forth. Dude wakes up. What that tells me is at some point in my journey, I will be able to learn how to tell somebody who's dead, get up. Because I am a follower of Jesus Christ. So Jesus settles it with Peter. He tells him, no, I qualify every person that I call. We are disciples, church. You and I are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Second thing he tells him, he says, go and preach. Go and preach. Now, this is important because Jesus is a good teacher. Everything he did, he first demonstrated. And in John 20, Jesus says, I was sent by my Father, and now I'm turning around and I'm sending you. I first came. I left from the comforts of my home. I left all the splendor that I got to enjoy, and I came to the earth because the Father sent me. Now I'm turning around and looking at my disciples and saying, now you go. That's a good teacher. He demonstrated what needed to be done, and now he turned to his disciples and says, I need you to go. Now I know what the stigma is when you hear you need to preach the gospel. The first time I read this, I was like, I only know two chapters in the Bible. I know the one that says somewhere in John, Jesus wept, because it's short. It's short. I know that one. And I know For God So Loved the World because I sang it in primary school, and that's what I learned. So those are the only two things I know. I cannot preach. I don't know how to be a Pastor Maloof. I really don't. I'm still learning. I'm serious. I'm still learning how to be able to construct a message. So I cannot preach. But Jesus in the Bible shows us how easy and simple it is to go and preach. Now, the Bible tells us in Mark 5:19, this is one way that you can go and preach. It says in Mark 5:19 that he meets a person who's full of demons, and Jesus casts the demons away. Now, there's a big crowd that follows this man and says, man, listen, whatever you've done is great, but we need you to leave this city. So the man follows Jesus and says, don't leave me here. I want to go wherever you're going. And Jesus turns to him in verse 19, and he says these words, no, go home to your family. And tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. Jesus tells him, this is how you should go. Just go tell them what I've done for you. Every one of us has a story to tell. If you receive Jesus in your heart, you know where you were. You remember that time when you used to drink uncontrollably and you didn't know how to stop, but Jesus got a hold of your heart and changed your ways? You have that story. Tell that story. Remember that one time when you were so just desperate for a move of anything. You didn't know how to explain it, but somehow you just gathered up some words and said, Jesus, help me, and he did. Tell that story. Jesus tells him, go and tell your story. You don't have to know a bunch of scriptures to preach it. You don't have to be a scholar to be able to do this. All I'm saying is just tell them what I've done for you. Tell them what you've heard. Tell them every good thing that you've heard about me. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just go and tell your story. Now, I want to pause for a second and say this. A lot of times we feel like we have to save somebody. We're scared. Because what if I tell them and they just reject me? Listen, none of us save anybody. Pastor Malouf can't save anybody. I can't save you. The 200 of us missionaries who went to Honduras, we can't save anybody. All we could do is tell them. Then the Holy Spirit convicts their heart. He's the one who saves them. So that takes the pressure away. So all I have to do is like, okay, I'm just going to tell my story everywhere I go. And the Holy Spirit does the rest for us. Second thing, this is good. Thank you so much. This is good. All right. Second thing, God, Jesus shows us through his word. John 1, verse 46, Jesus approaches another disciple that he wants to call forth. His name is Nathanael. And he tells Nathanael, listen, he tells Philip, come and follow me. And so he tells him these amazing things that are going to happen. And Philip is blown away. So he runs to his friend Nathanael and tells him, listen, I just met a dude from Nazareth. And Jesus, and then Nathanael's response is, wait, what good can ever come from Nazareth? And this is what he says. This is what he says. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Philip's response is this. Come and see for yourself. Everywhere I go, I start telling people, hey, what did you do? I tell them I'm a pastor. All of a sudden, I see them just getting all abrasive. And they're like, man, I don't like pastors. Man, they're all stuck up and they love them. I'm like, no, man, you need to meet my pastor. Come and meet my pastor. He's a cool dude. He's funny. He dresses cool. And they're like, no, I don't know about church people. They judge people too much. I'm like, not my church. I need you to come and see and meet a group of people who just love unconditionally. They're not here about judging. Come and see. And I meet all sorts of people, mothers who tell me, man, I'm too busy. I'm watching toddlers. I'm like, ooh, good thing you said that because we have MOPS coming up on September 4th. Come and see. Your kids are going to be set apart. They're being taken care of, and we're going to take care of you. Come and see. Some people tell me, does God really move? And I'm here to tell you, hey, come and see. Pastor Benny's coming. Come and see. Come and see God move in incredible ways. And I want to encourage you, church, go and give this out. Come and see. Come and see. Third thing he says, when you go and preach, this is what's going to happen. Signs and wonders are going to follow the believer. Now, when I was going to Honduras, I had a big expectation. Because last year, when we went to Nicaragua, someone who was blind from our team laid their hands and they started to see. Blew my mind. All these years of ministry, never seen it happen in real time. And I was like, okay, that's amazing. Then this year, Pastor Chad takes a group of people to Guatemala. Same thing happens. Man who cannot see is brought up to them. And Pastor Chad's son and Pastor Chad, another fella, go up and they lay their hands on him and he starts to see. So I'm expectant. It's happened twice now. So I can say this is happening in our church. So I've got great expectation that God's about to do something extraordinary. So I ask God, I tell him, I want to see someone blind get see, that I've seen. But now I want to see someone who's dead come to life. Because remember, whatever the rabbi can do, the disciple will be able to do too. So I'm expecting. So I go to Honduras and I'm excited. So every day as we're going out there, I'm waiting. Father, somebody dead. I want to see it. I want to see it. I'm serious. We go to this home with elderly people, and I was like, all right, any one of them, do it. Seriously, do it. I'm so expectant. Ryan Cross will tell you. He texts me and says, what are you expecting God to do? And I respond to you and say, I want to see somebody dead come to life. So I am expectant something great is about to happen. And the Holy Spirit stops me and says, son, it's awesome that somebody dead can come to life. It's awesome when the blind see. It's awesome when somebody has cancer gets healed. That's amazing. But what that only does is affect this part. The greatest miracle you and I will ever see is when somebody gives their life to Jesus. Because that decision, amen, because that decision not only affects the decisions they make here, but also changes the way they live for eternity. Church, this morning you and I have the greatest privilege to see something supernatural take place in the lives of others. All we have to do is just tell them, come and see. All we have to do is tell our stories. And the Holy Spirit does the rest. I want to see miracles taking place in my life every single day. So what am I going to do? I'm going to walk out there and just tell my story. Some people will listen, some people won't. But I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit that whenever I do so, it will affect the decisions they make here. Because when I get to heaven, I'm waiting to see people walk up to me and say, man, I sure am glad you told me your story. I sure am glad you invited me to church. I'm glad you stopped at the mall and told me that Jesus loves me. We have an opportunity, church. But this is my challenge to us this morning. I want us to stand up. You might be in here, and you just, you're like, man, I need to hear about this good news. Let me tell you my story. One day, I was going one way. I thought I had it figured out. Then somebody introduced me to Jesus and told me how amazing he was. And for some reason, something in me believed him. And so I decided to follow Jesus. And my life has never been the same again. So if you're in here and you want to meet my Jesus, while everybody's eyes are closed, I want you to raise your hand and say, I want to meet your Jesus. And all you have to do is repeat these words after me. And I want all the church to say with me, dear Lord Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart. Change me. I confess you right now that you are God over my life. I receive all that you have for me. And from this day forward, I will choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now for the rest of us, we have a decision to make. I want to challenge you this week. For the next 24 hours, this is what I'm going to be praying. Would you ask God what your next step is? Because all of us are in different steps. Some of you, it just means going to your family members and telling them of what God has done in your life. For some of you, it's walking over to your neighbor's house and tell them, listen, I just wanted to buy y'all lunch. Could you come with us to church on Sunday morning? And then after church, we're going to go and have lunch. Come and see how great our church is. And for others, is going on a mission trip with us to Peru. So whatever you are in this next step, I want to trust God with you that he will help you take the next step this morning. So I want to invite the prayer team to come forward. I want y'all to step out in faith, and they will pray with you. And I'm going to pray with you for this next 24 hours that God is going to move in incredible ways and show you what your next step is. So let's pray. Thank you.